Well, welcome to another episode of The Voice of Advocacy. I'm Dr. Jeff Barrows and your host for the podcast. You know, here at CMDA, we focus on four major issues in our advocacy efforts. First, it's protecting the vulnerable unborn. Second, protecting vulnerable youth from gender transition that they really don't need. Thirdly, we protect the vulnerable elderly from assisted suicide. And last but certainly not least, we are active in protecting our vulnerable members, healthcare professionals who are being threatened in terms of their conscience freedoms. And so today we're actually taking a deeper dive into that fourth issue, the issue of conscience freedoms and protecting them. So I'm joined today by our conscience freedom policy specialist, J.C. Bicek, as well as our guest, Greg Schaffwin.
Good to be here.
Greg Schaffwin serves as legal counsel for Alliance Defending Freedom's Center for Public Policy. He focuses on legislation impacting religious liberty at the state level. And prior to joining ADF, Greg spent 3 years as a white-collar defense litigator, 1 year as a law clerk on the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, and is a graduate of the Notre Dame Law School. So we're very thankful, Greg, that you're taking time out of your busy schedule to join us to answer a few questions about what ADF is doing with the Med Act.
Very glad to be here to talk about a very important piece of legislation.
Well, first off, Greg, as an attorney with ADF, you're actively engaged in protecting the conscience freedoms of healthcare professionals across the country. What is your assessment of the level of threat to our members within the entire U.S.? Should they be concerned? We were at a meeting recently where someone just kind of raised the question, are we really vulnerable? So are they correct that they are not vulnerable, or should they be concerned? And what would you say to those who are in specialties that feel like they're unaffected or not in places where they may have some conscience pressures put on them?
I think everybody is vulnerable, especially for the CMDA members. You know, your members live a life of faith, and that means that you answer to a higher authority. Every single doctor, nurse, dental professional, any medical provider, every single day of their practice, they are using their conscience when they're serving their patients. Every single person that they're serving, they need to think, is this an ethically correct thing to do or not? That is vitally important to the practice of medicine and in all of its contexts, and the law should reflect that. And right now, in most states, you don't have that kinds of protections that doctors need. Threats can be seen in many different ways. It can be from intimidation or from actual acts of discrimination. It can be from the administration pushing different types of procedures on hospitals and medical providers. It can even just be by the rapid advance of technology and artificial intelligence telling doctors that they have to do one thing instead of another. Looking at just the intimidation factor, surveys have shown that almost half of doctors have seen colleagues and other people being discriminated against because of their beliefs, because of their faith, and their conscientious objections to providing certain procedures. Now, if you think about what that means for them, fine, maybe they weren't discriminated against. But if they see their colleague being punished because of a conscious objection they have, look at the chilling effect that will have on them. Do you think they'll be willing to stick their neck out and perhaps risk their entire profession for doing the same thing that someone down the street did? It's risky. For students, medical students, the same surveys show that 1 out of 5 students, that's 20%, have changed the direction of their studies because of concerns about the kinds of procedures that they might be forced to participate in. And very concerning, of those 20% of students that left, avoided certain specialties, 80% went away from the OBGYN field. Mm-hmm. Now think of that. Those are doctors delivering babies, providing services to pregnant mothers. And if you think that their 80% of these students didn't go into that field because of their pro-life values, what does that do for all of the mothers out there that want to find a healthcare provider who wants to agree with them that that child inside of them is precious and will be delivered and taken care of no matter what? So because there are not these conscience protections in almost every single state, you have students who rightfully are afraid of what their future, what their profession will be like if they have to be presented with a situation where they might have to violate their conscience rights. And we know that 9 out of 10 doctors would sooner leave the profession than violate their conscience, do something that would cause harm to their patients. And so, of course, they're going to avoid situations where they might have to leave their profession. So we need these conscience rights even if you don't see them, just because of the sheer intimidation factor, chilling doctors away from certain specialties, chilling them from actually acting in accordance with their conscience, providing the best services for their patients, because they're concerned that they might be fired for not doing what their employer tells them to do or what the state tells them to do. As far as actual discrimination goes, we have even seen that more than 1 out of 5 doctors has personally felt discrimination, being forced to do something that they don't want to do or changing what they're doing because of fear of that. 1 out of 3, 30% of medical students themselves have faced this kind of discrimination. Here at Alliance Defending Freedom, we've represented nurses who have been forced to participate in abortion procedures, felt that they had no other choice. She tried to stop, but they forced her to do it, threatened her whole livelihood. And unfortunately, she had to go through that procedure, still suffers from that experience to this day. And that's all because they don't have these state-level conscience protections that would have provided real help in that moment. And for service providers that maybe think that they're in a specialty that won't be impacted, they will be. You know, doctors are not vending machines. The way that the field is going, doctors are being treated like they need to provide whatever service the patient comes in and asks for, whether it's because the patient is always right and needs to get exactly what they're asking for, or because the employer needs to be able to tell their doctors and nurses exactly what they have to do, no questions asked. But just like I started off by saying, doctors use their conscience in their service every single day, and that should be respected from the employers and from their patients. And that's why this legislation that we've already seen 7 states enact, that's why that's needed now more than ever in order to protect all medical providers.
Yeah, Greg, you noted that this is done at the state level, so the Med Act that we're talking about. Why is this necessary at the state level when we hear so often about the federal statutes that are in place to protect conscience freedoms, those being the Weldon Amendments, the Coates, Snow, the Church, and then several sections of the Affordable Care Act? Why is there a gap, or why are these necessary when we have those conscience protections at the federal level?
Yeah, so this is very important because it protects medical providers from being forced to participate in any procedure that would violate their conscience. Those federal protections are very important, but they are mostly focused on abortion and sterilization procedures. And I don't want to undermine the importance of those. So everybody listening should know that you shouldn't be forced to provide an abortion or sterilization procedures because there are federal protections for that. But they're narrow. For the most part, they're narrow to those things. And so your doctors, if they're presented with a new procedure or a controversial procedure that goes against their code of ethics, they need to know that they are protected. And right now, I think not enough people know about those abortion and sterilization protections. So I'm glad that you mentioned them. But the state level protection applies to any procedure that would violate their conscience. And a second part to that that's very important, the federal protections can be very difficult to enforce. Like our client, you know, yeah, that federal law was on the books, but it took a long time for her to find some relief and for the hospital to come around and change its policies. But in that moment, when she was in that room, forced to participate in that abortion, she didn't have a state law that she could say, no, the laws are on the books, you need to obey this. It took a lot of work to enforce that. So for an enforcement mechanism, you need to have this in the states so that your doctors are protected and that hospitals take it seriously, and to protect a broad array of procedures that might come up.
Well, Greg, we've talked a little bit about the Med Act. So if you would take a few minutes just to explain what the Med Act is for our listeners. And I think that this has been a bill that ADF has been trying to put into place in several states for several years. So have there been any changes in the past year? And what states are you looking to get it passed in terms of this next legislative session?
Well, so the Med Act, called the Medical Ethics Defense Act, it's basically medical rights of conscience. It's a bill that would protect the rights of conscience of doctors. And what we have seen is that states are interested in doing this. And so where they're interested in doing this, we're very happy to provide analysis and support with legal review and provide good language that's solid and that's defensible and that works for doctors, and really come alongside them as they're asking for us to provide legal review of those kinds of pieces of legislation. And the main thing that it does, as I've been saying, is it protects the rights of doctors and nurses, and depends on the state. But if they want to go as far as to protect pharmacists and any other person that might be involved in a medical procedure, it would say that nor the government, nor the hospital, nor the clinic, no employer, you cannot violate their right to conscience. You cannot force them to participate in a procedure that violates their conscience rights. Now, to date, we have 7 states that have this kind of law in the books, which is excellent. And we know many more states are interested. But other things that it does is it includes a very important free speech protection. And it does this by allowing whistleblowers, that's if there's ever a violation of this code, that you can be protected by blowing the whistle, by reporting it. Too often, you know, like I mentioned before about the intimidation that's happening, you might be a doctor and said, oh, you're protected. But, you know, if you report it, you know, 5 months down the line, something might happen to you. Well, it's very important to have whistleblower protections that ensures that you can actually raise a violation and you won't be retaliated against because of that. And it also includes more general free speech protection, saying that doctors should not be fired because they are counseling their patients according to their free speech rights and their conscience. Too often we're seeing these days industries, medical industries, pushing doctors and having somewhat speech codes on the kinds of things that they can say with their patients, or even doctors being afraid that their patients might sue them if they say, put the wrong pronoun into a medical file. Mm-hmm. Well, these free speech protections are more important than ever so that doctors know that they can be open and frank with their patients. Another thing that we know from surveys is that more than 80% of patients want to have doctors that agree with them on the moral basis, have similar values, that see eye to eye with them. You can think about, you know, yourselves. Of course, you want to agree with the person providing you medical care because it's something very intimate and deeply important. Well, you can't know that. You can't have that sort of confidence in your doctor if you don't know that they have that free speech protection and freedom to speak openly with you. So very importantly, the Med Act also has a free speech component to protecting the conscience rights to not be forced into any procedure.
You know, you noted those seven states, and we're very grateful and happy to see the success in those seven states. But why is it that this hasn't been adopted in all 50 states? You know, what is it that's holding up, notably these states where we'd assume that they would be amenable to such protections?
Yeah, many states are interested and they continue to be interested. Like you said, you know, it's a great success that in the last 3 years, we've seen five more states pass this into law. In the 70s, Illinois was the first one to have robust protections. And in the early 2000s, Mississippi had this law. And then in the last 3 years, we had five new states passing it. This year, about 10 states had introduced it. And then it has to go through the legislative process, which can be difficult. And so what makes it difficult, I think, is we need to hear more voices. The legislators need to hear more voices from the people that are concerned about it. Oftentimes they'll ask, why do we need this? Are there issues? What's going on? And so that's a challenge. And also, you know, there are heavy interests with deep pockets that don't want to have to accommodate conscience rights for doctors from certain lobbyists. And that can be difficult to educate and help everybody understand the benefit that this provides to the hospitals, to the patients, and most especially to the doctors. But I think conversations and education is the most important thing. And as we see this continually be reintroduced in states, I have optimism that legislators will continue to consider the legislation.
Well, Greg, you've talked about the importance of the Med Act, and hopefully those who are listening have recognized that it is for their own protection, their own ability to practice good, conscientious medicine. So I guess I want to end this podcast with how can our members get involved in getting these bills passed? And even in states where they say, well, this will never happen here. But as you've already said, it's important everywhere. So what are some tangible things that they can do to help you and your colleagues there at ADF to get these passed in various states?
Well, I would say from our position, I'm providing legal services to legislators, advice, and you know, things of that matter. But if they're interested in having these conscience protections, I would say keep in touch with the CMDA. You know, keep an ear to what you all are doing. Whenever you see these in states, I know that you will also be interested in protecting your members with this legislation. So keep in touch with CMDA. Maybe follow ADF just for the information to know what's going on and where. But most importantly of all, for all the listeners, I would just encourage everybody to live your faith in truth, speak truth and love to those around you, walk into the wind, be bold, you know, do what you have in your heart and follow your conscience. Never let your conscience be undermined by an employer or by the state. That way, when you do have a conversation, if you do with a legislator talking about the importance of something like this, you can give a sincere story about the impact that it has on your life and how it would be meaningful for you. Things like that, really getting involved, makes a better society, not just for the individual doctor, nurse, anybody that may be listening, but it makes it better for everybody. You think, if you protect conscience rights for one doctor, one nurse, you're increasing the number of healthcare providers for everybody in the state. And we know that we have a shortage of nurses, of doctors, of almost everything. We need more. And conscience protections is one way to ensure that everybody of good faith can enter that field. Think of the alternative. If you don't have conscience protections, religious healthcare providers will start leaving this field. The medical field will not be a place welcoming of Christian, any person of faith, because of the ethical concerns and the ethical things that they are forced to do. And I don't think any of us want an America in which Christians, people of faith, are excluded from the medical field just because of their deeply held religious beliefs. So get involved, live your faith, and live truth and love.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Greg, for that admonition. And I just want to, again, emphasize what you've been saying to our members, that if they get an email from us here at CMDA through the American Academy of Medical Ethics that has something with the Med Act on it, I would hope they would pay extra attention and try and follow what we will be outlining in terms of next steps within that email. So as we're concluding and thinking about this topic, I'm reminded as well of what the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 3:15 and 16. He said to his readers, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander." So, Greg, thank you for all your efforts and those of all your team there at ADF to protect the conscience freedoms of our members. And thank you again for joining us today.
Thank you, Dr. Barrows. Really appreciate you all.
Thank you all for listening as well. And until next time, as Greg has said, keep standing strong for the Lord.
CMDA advocacy provides grassroots support on issues at the state level, including the issue of protecting the unborn. If you would like to get involved, join our campaign against state abortion amendments. If you live in a state in which a pro-abortion amendment is on the ballot and you want to help fight that amendment, please contact us at advocacy@cmda.org. Here at CMDA, we are often called on by the national media to provide expert media interviews and perspectives on topics like abortion, transgender, assisted suicide, and more. From congressional testimony to network television, God continues to open doors for CMDA to amplify the voice of Christian healthcare professionals on the critical life issues of our day. And we need more experts just like you to help. Will you consider joining us at this year's Voice of CMDA Media Training to learn how you can become a media expert in your field? This two-day conference on August 9th and 10th, 2024, will teach you how to be a CMDA media representative. And we will explore how advocacy and media work hand in hand to prepare you to use your media skills and testify in your state legislature. For more information and to register, visit cmda.org/events. Thanks for listening to The Voice of Advocacy. If you would like to suggest a future guest or share a comment with us, please email advocacy@cmda.org. And if you like the podcast, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and share it on your favorite social media platform. This podcast has been a production of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.